You know, when we look at the New Testament here today, we'll be getting into John chapter 8, 12 through 21. Remember, before we were saved, we didn't know anything about the inheritance. That New Testament is just as well, just like a living will. A living will and testament, just as it were, as we write out our living wills and testaments, right? Each one of us has a will and testament, and our lawyer signs for it, and so on and so forth. But Jesus gave his New Testament, his living will. Once we got saved, we understood that he died over, 2,023 years ago or so. And my goodness, isn't that wonderful that we have an inheritance in Jesus Christ? Isn't it wonderful, and isn't it a beautiful thing that God for so loved the world? And so thank God for that. Also keeping your prayers too about VBS. I didn't mention that, but it's just coming up this week, and then the following week we have VBS start. So keep that in prayer. We got a lot of people working hard behind the scenes. People are excited. A lot of people are going out, putting out flyers and door hangers, and we're very thankful for that. Okay, so it's an evangelistic effort, and we're doing exactly what the church, what the Lord told the church to do, is to go out to highways and byways and to compel them to come in. And, you know, whatever happens, God be the glory. And that's all we can do. Be faithful. Again, be faithful. That's the key that unlocks the door to God's blessings. If you've done everything we can do, then God bless us. That is the best that God expects from us. And he expects only the best because, well, frankly, he gave the best, didn't he? And we're thankful for that. So we're looking here with Jesus. Oh, I tell you, what a remarkable person he is. He came in the flesh. And he came as the light of the world. Now remember, that idea of the world is the world system. Okay, we have the sun and the moon and the stars, and we give thanks for the lights in the sky. But he is the spiritual light. Unfortunately, we live in a very dark world. Last night, as the fireworks were going off there in Delafield and other places, and they will in the next couple of days, there's a mass of darkness there, background. We see all the colorful lights, and we get the oohs and the ahs. But I tell you what, there is one ooh and ah, awesome, wonderful, almighty God that created everything. But so the world system is in darkness, you know, and even we, as we know, creation moans for the day of redemption, as our bodies do. And so remember what Jesus just went through with the woman caught in adultery. You looked at that last week. Everything was wrong about it. There was no forgiveness. There was no healing. There was just nothing but embarrassment and judgment and hatred. And they wanted to trip up or catch our Lord in a pickle of a moment, a problem. And of course, Jesus said in very loving terms, you know, if who is here without sin can throw the first stone. And they all walked away because they all knew they were sinners. Oh, but no. They still weren't done yet. They still had a axe to grind, so to speak. Their selfish motives, that axe to grind, that came back in the early 1800s, that expression, where it was like a metaphor for somebody who had a secret agenda. They were out to do something for their own selfish selves. And they were very selfish. They were also very hypocritical and very smug. When you get around people like that, the only thing you can do is love them, pray for them, be there for them, you know, and let God take care of the rest. They know exactly, because they're watching you, they're listening to you, and they're thinking about you. So the woman had left, Jesus said, woman, in a very kind way of saying woman, like he said to his mother, like he said there at other times, like at the woman at the well, woman, in a very loving way, go and sin no more. In other words, stop what you're doing. Try to stop what you're doing, okay? Remember that sin and try not to sin anymore. And I said a lot of people last week misinterpret that verse because it's an impossibility. We're all sinners. We're still sinners. And we still sin every day. But we have the blood of Jesus. He's saying, look, you need to stop doing this. I'm an overcomer. You know, the Bible does say that God gives us a way of escape. Therefore, every temptation that comes our way, again, God gives us an escape. It's our choice. It's our choice whether we want to continue in sin. So you would think things were going to go okay from there. You know, things would settle down. But no, if you're living right for the Lord this week, has it been all easy? Has it been a gravy train like they say, the kids would say? No, it's been tough. It's been hard. And you're like, you know, you're gritting your teeth and you're like, I'm giving it the best I got here. And you're saying, Lord, help me do it in the spirit, not in the flesh, right? Because, you know, Lord expects the best, but I prayed this week, Lord, let your will be done in my life. Give me the joy that I need and go from there. So Jesus, he was, you know, at the temple again. And I'm sure he was thinking, and he knew this too because he's God. He knew the temple would be destroyed in about 40 years in 70 AD. And he was, you know, I'm sure the thought passed as we do today. It was probably a good thing the temple was destroyed because people have a way of worshiping things. They have a way of going back to that same place. But Jesus was now the perfect sacrifice. He didn't need any more what was going on in the temple. So, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but should have the light of light. Now, where they were in the woman's court. Where they were was they had their gigantic vats. 65 gallons, and there were four of them, and they were lit during the feast time. And the priests, what they would do, they would come around, they light these big pots of oil, and they would celebrate during the Feast of the Tabernacle what Israel was able to do in the 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Now listen to this, okay? So they wondered, remember, God manifested himself in what? As a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. And they were saying, remember, guys, remember, this is what has happened. And what the priests would do during the Feast of the Tabernacles is they would dance all night long. You think people were out all night last night? We had people coming in through our place early 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning coming home from being out last night. But they were all night long, they were singing psalms. The priests and the elders would be singing. And they would be dancing there in the woman's courtyard. And they would be giving praises to God. And so, what a wonderful thing is about the light. And they say it would illuminate Jerusalem. They said from the temple, you could see it in all parts of Jerusalem, that light. And Jesus is saying here, I am the light. Because we live in a very dark world. And the darkness sometimes is very heavy set. There was a man called Gandhi who pretty much was into the Hindu religion. And he said this before he died. And now some people have gotten angry with me because I've used Gandhi before in illustrations. And I said, no, he was a good man, but he needed a savior. He was a sinner too. And yes, he was upset at Christians because the way Christians acted, they thought they were morally superior to the people there in India back in the day. So Gandhi said, you know, right before he died, because he was assassinated. He told those who were around him after he was shot, he goes, "There's a strange darkness coming over me. A very strange darkness." Now, the man was a good man. He fasted. He did many good works. But that's still short of what Jesus did. Jesus did it all. Thank God for that. And thank God we have his New and Old Testament. Thank God when he died on the cross. When he did that, he fulfilled the Old Testament and he fulfilled in the New Testament. And he did that because he loves us. You don't have to work your way to heaven. These people, the problem is with the people who are out to get to Jesus, and they were out to get him again. Here in a minute, I'll tell you. Some people just never stop. Had that people like that this week? So, what happened here was is that Jesus saying, "Look, I'm the light of the world. I am the light." You know, a light that is on a hill cannot be hid, right? A light that's on a hill cannot be hid. And so Jesus was that light, so to speak, on the hill. And we need to shine that light this week. And I'm sure we have. But little did they know, with their pride and their ignorance, they should have looked into Isaiah 42:6, says, because these people were without excuse. They didn't bother with it. They were the blind leading the blind. They were following the religious leaders. And so today, we know as well as ourselves. We can hear it from one source, but sometimes it's better to check on our own, because sometimes people get the word wrong. You know, you pass it around to one person, to another, and before you know it, the story's all wrong, right? Well, they had it all wrong. It says here in Isaiah 42:6, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thy hand, and I will keep thee, and I will give thee a covenant of the people of for a light of the Gentiles." So God was going to keep his covenant. His covenant is what? What he did coming up. He'd be a light unto the Gentiles and to the Jews. It was at this point that Jesus' love and admiration was going to his own people. Today, we're all about our own people, aren't we? Our families, our loved ones. We're all about that, taking care of them. But after, remember what happened at Pentecost, the light went out to the Gentiles. And so who were giving Jesus the hardest time at this point, trying to put out that light? It was the Jewish people. They became angry. We're the ones called by God. Not the Gentiles. They're dogs. They're nothing, you know. God didn't look at it that way. Unfortunately, when we see people that we don't like, we got to love them as Christ loved them. And I'm still learning that to today, because I know my old nature wants to go back and get even with certain people. No, God's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Love them as I loved him. Jesus said he's the light of the world. I think they understood that. You had people sitting there listening to him saying, "Who is this man?" Remember, some of them thought he was just like a magician. Others thought that he was an imposter. Others thought that, well, you know, all the wonderful things he did, well, the true Messiah would make everything perfect. So he's like a forerunner. He's a prophet. Maybe he's Elijah. We don't know. Remember it said in the beginning of John chapter 1 in this gospel that he is the light of the world. Read John chapter 1 when you have time. John makes it very explicit who the light is. And so, see here in verse 13. Now here comes the trouble. The good news, now here comes the trouble. You see here, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, "Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true." And of course, if one were to look back in John chapter 5, remember the man that was healed at the pool of Siloam, and they were mad because he's saying, "Jesus, you're a Sabbath breaker. One, you deserve to get stoned. And two, you healed a man, which isn't right, and you also, you claim to be equal with the Father. That's just not right. Something's wrong. So it says here, John 5:30-31, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my will, but the will of the Father that sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Jesus says, I'm not speaking of myself, but I'm speaking of the Father. And you need to have two or three witnesses, according to Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and you had the Mosaic Law. They were all about it. But did they listen to him? Remember, Herod had to go to the priest to find out where Jesus was when Jesus was going to be born. And the religious leaders said, yeah, in Bethlehem. But they weren't even listening what they were saying because they were so blinded. All they cared about is themselves. And all they had to do is look in Micah 5:2. And they would have found out as well in the Old Testament that, you know, the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. But did they even do anything about it? No, because they were so caught up in the religious realm. Today we have a lot of people caught up in religion. And where has that gotten us? Away from our Savior. We've come a long way since 1776. And you know what's happened? They've only said 39% of the people, taken some polls around the country, are really excited about our country right now. Only 39%. I wonder why, because people have turned their backs on God. And this is what happens to a nation. We're going through Jeremiah, just finished with the Babylonian destruction of Babylon. It's interesting because Babylon became so proudful. They had so much pride. And God said, you know, that's enough. Enough is enough. And our nation has gone that way pretty much. Jesus answered and said unto them in verse 14, though I bear a record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence and whither I go. You know, there's over 330 prophecies that speak of Christ's birth up to his resurrection. 330 of them back in the Old Testament. Remember, the New Testament hasn't been written yet. And they still didn't pay attention to it. Because I really believe the Lord had plans for that temple to be destroyed. That's why God puts certain things maybe out of our lives today. I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about things, because they get in the way of God. So Jesus is saying, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. He's referring to not only would he be in the crowds of people as they're standing there talking with him, and Jesus is relaying the truth, but he's saying, look, I am who I am. He is the great I am. And yet he was coming and going, and he would like disappear amongst people, and he'd reappear over at another place. And they couldn't find him. They were out to kill him. They were out there, and we're going to get to this in a minute. They're going to try to trip him up again. They weren't done with him. But it wasn't God's timing yet. The Lord was in control of everything. And then it's good to know that this week, knowing that God's in control, not us. Circumstances, tell you, some of us had years in the plans for certain things. But yet things aren't turning out like we thought they were going to. That's why, as the old saying goes, look, let go and let God, right? Just let go. Let God take it. He'll take care of it, as he always has. That's never gotten old. You judge after the flesh. You know, they had to judge after the flesh. They had to, because there was no spiritual understanding. They were in darkness spiritually. They didn't understand. Sometimes I could just bash my head against the wall, not literally, but I'm like, why don't people get it? I tell them, I share it with them, we talk about it, And yeah, it seems like they understand, but some people I'm talking about who don't know Christ as Savior. But then I realize, you know, without Jesus, Jesus does the saving. So they were all about the flesh, all about me, myself, and I. But Jesus says, I judge no man, and yet I judge, my judgment is true. I am not alone, but I and my Father that sent me. In other words, he was equal with God. He was who he was, and nobody had to tell him other than that. And I am sure if you and I were sitting there, we would think, okay, I got it. I'm thinking about the Father in heaven. And I'm thinking about this prophet, this man, this Jesus, whoever he is. Is he really the Messiah? I don't get it. I think a lot of people didn't get it, like they don't get it today. They don't get Jesus. Why? Because they're not spiritually discerned. They're so lost. Until I got saved, it didn't make any sense to me either. You know, as the saying goes, that person's not too smart because he doesn't have his light bulb screwed in all the way. You've heard that expression. But Jesus just pushed down all the walls that kept the light out. It's amazing, too, in the creation story. He is the light, right? And the darkness comprehended it not. Guess what? His Shekinah glory is greater than all the darkness. Remember, the universe will be rolled up like a tent one day, like it says in Hebrews chapter 1. So everything that there is will be with the new heavens and new earth. It's going to be rolled up like a tent and then rolled back out again. Things will be totally different. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Oh, I believe we'll know who we are in heaven. I believe that. I really do. We'll have new bodies, new names. And I think we'll be able to recognize each other because there'll be a joy, an unspeakable joy full of glory that we can't even understand, begin to understand. But we have a little bit of that in ourselves right now. Okay? So, it is also written, verse 17, in your law that the testimony of two men is true in Numbers 35:30. We don't have time to turn there, but in the Mosaic law, saying you had to have witnesses. When you go to a court of law, you have to have a witness. I remember we used to swear on the Bible. Well, they took that away like about 20 years ago. You don't have to do that. You know, so help me God. No, forget that. Okay? You just speak the truth, and that's good enough. But you had to have two witnesses, and they had to speak the same thing about the same thing. Same thing happened with the woman that was caught in adultery. You had to have both of them that were caught, and you had to have at least two witnesses in two different rooms tell the exact same story. I like what, you know, the four Gospels, people say that all the time about it. Well, it can't be God's word. It's different. Well, if you look at the personalities, you look at the historical context and also the archaeological proof, and you look at everything that, if you compare Scripture with Scripture, there is no contradiction. You have four different personalities. We're all different personalities today by the grace of God. It'd be kind of boring if we were all the same. But through the light and the truth and the way, the truth, and the life, you see that the witness between the Son and the Father is true. Verse 18, I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Now, there were two times that the Father bared witness of Jesus. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 3 and John chapter 1, where Jesus was baptized. And who came down from heaven when John was baptizing Jesus? The Holy Spirit. Okay? And, of course, the Father said, this is whom I am well pleased. The Father said the same thing at the Mount Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. This is whom I am well pleased. You had John and Peter and James there at the Mount Transfiguration. You had Elijah and Moses appear there with Jesus' transformation. Remember, his light, his face shone as a light. as the sun. Anybody ever looked into the sun before? It's not a very pleasant thing to do, a very wise thing to do. But it shone like the sun, the Shekinah glory. And what did the three apostles do? They got on their faces on the ground. Can you imagine the illumination of the light? People had no inkling, except for us, brethren, who God is. We know the truth. Thank God for that. Isn't that, that's a blessing to take home with us every day before we lay our head down the pillow at night. That Jesus gave us that light, that we can share the light of Christ. So there was both witnesses there, and we had to witness with one another that what? It says in 1 John that we are God's children, that our spirit bears what? Witnesses with one another. So, verse 19, and then they said unto him, where is thy father? They had gotten to the point where they were going to scandalize Jesus. You know what scandalizing means, right? It's just a horrible story about somebody. Sometimes it's made up. Sometimes little bits and pieces are true. Sometimes, you know, it's the truth, but it's a scandal. And they said, you know, Jesus, well, who is your father? The story that was going around, we know who Jesus' father is, right? Well, then on earthly terms, you know, you had Mary and Joseph, right? Well, they knew who Joseph was. Remember, back in different passages in the Bible, they understand, they knew Jesus' family. It's amazing what people will conjure up things about other people to make themselves feel better or to get rid of somebody. It amazes me. They thought Jesus' father was a Roman soldier. Yeah, the rumor's going around, Jesus, your father is a Roman soldier. They even called him a, pardon my expression, a bastard, a illegitimate son. It means we don't even know who your father is, Jesus. They had gotten so low, so low. I'm sure some of the people that had doubts about Jesus in that time were like, you got to be kidding me. You're really lowballing this guy. You're cutting him really low. You know, it just amazes me, God's love, God's love. And the light still shone. The light, the love was still there. You couldn't put it out. Thank God for you all here, because I know some of you, I've seen you in suffering times. It'll be 2 years today, actually. And I've seen you suffer and, you know, weep and cry. And I'm like, oh, Lord, you still love them. Thank God you still love us. And we've all been through down the road together, haven't we? Maybe not for all our life, but we understand each other very well. So that hit below the belt. You know, Jesus answered, he didn't even have to say anything like Pontius Pilate. What is truth? You know, Jesus says, you know, who I am. And Pilate says, well, how do you know what truth is, Jesus? At that point, Jesus didn't say anymore. When you get people doubting the truth, it's time to, okay, you made your choice. You baked your cookies. Now you can eat them. You neither know me nor my father. He's just being honest, being truthful. This is grace. This is grace. I'd rather know that I'm a rotten sinner going to hell than somebody being a great pretender. Or as they would call pretenders, people used to be in plays and be in shows, you know, wear face masks, pretenders, great pretenders. You neither know me nor my father. If you had known me, you should have known my father also. All they had to do was go back to Isaiah 7:14. Say, well, everybody knows that. That's a Christmas passage. But no, actually, they understood who Isaiah was. They understood who Ezekiel was. They understood who the prophets were. That's why Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, was written, because to let everybody know that Jesus was better than the temple and everything else that the Jews put out there. Okay. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. What's that? Behold, a virgin. Okay, we know who the virgin is. Shall conceive and bear a son. And shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus was with the Father. They were one. But they still didn't get it, because they were on purposely ignorant. Remember in John chapter 1, they said, "Are you Elijah? Are you a prophet? Are you the Messiah?" And when they walked away after John chapter 1, they still are like still questioning him. They did not want Jesus in their lives. And there are people today who do not want Jesus. I have come to the conclusion years ago, and so have you, sometimes it's better just to shake the dirt off your feet or your shoes, leaving their ground that they're at. Because they're just, I'm like, "Lord, I don't, it's out of my hands. I did what I was supposed to do. Now it's up to you." And by the grace of God, we're all there too. We're all sinners going straight to hell. But Jesus has a way that's straight up. If we had and we did look up to him and got saved. Then it says, "These words spake Jesus in the treasury." That's interesting. Why would the Holy Spirit direct in that point in the court of women as he taught in the temple? Well, you had like 13 boxes. And each box, we don't have the time, was about offerings. And they were all shaped in with a horn, a trumpet. And so what people would do is that they would come along. It's kind of a hypocritical thing, I would think, in a sense. When you put your money in, people could hear how much money you're putting in. When God says, you know, when you give in secret. And whatever you can give your money, time, or whatever. Tithes, it's important to give your tithes. You know, whatever you want to give above that, your offerings, that's between you and the Lord. You give freely without holding back, without any grudging. I've met some grudge holders in the past. They're just like, "I don't know why I have to give anything at all." And I'm like, you've got to be the saddest, most despicable, most, I just feel sorry for you. I really do. Because they're all about this. It's all about me. Jesus is all like, "Hey, give to you. I just need back from you too." That's the kind of love we need. So there was the treasury and the temple. No man laid hands on him yet, for his hour had not come. It had not come. And so when the time was right, Jesus would lay down his life for the people, but it wasn't that time yet. You know, for we all have our own times to do things. And we have to be patient. I'm just saying this for myself because it was our wonderful leader was up here singing her song. At the very beginning of the verse, I got ahead of her. Well, I don't know if you all heard that, but I had to back up. Did I learn the second time? No, I got ahead of her again. What did that teach me? You got to, as the kids say, chill out. Just back up. Okay? Sometimes we get ahead, or we think we know. And I'm saying, "Lord, just calm my spirit. I want to get back into this song. I want to get back in." You need one leader, the Holy Spirit, and the Lord's using her. So I have to go along with the worship and do it right. But Jesus says this as we're closing here. And then Jesus said again unto them, "I go my way, and you shall seek me." Now, the first time, he says, you can't go. You won't be able to go because you're so sinfully blind by your sin. Verse 14 says here, "But you cannot tell whence I come or whether I go because you're not following me." But he says this here in verse 21, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come." You know, he was telling them, basically, you're going straight to hell. You are so far gone, your conscience is so fixated on what you want. And you have put out the light. You know, I was going to do an illustration with the kids. You get those birthday candles, right? And I don't know if you have, but you can do this. And you don't want to do it more than once because that would just be mean to the little ones, you know. But you light the candles and they try to blow it out. Puffing up, blow the light out. And it doesn't go out. He says, "Well, you got to blow a little harder." Well, you can only do that one time. And everybody gets a good laugh. And then, of course, mom has another set of candles and she puts them in there. And blow out, and everybody goes, yay, and everybody claps, and, you know. They had blown out the light. They blew it. They had the opportunity, and they blew it. You know, you and I both know nothing worse than blowing it, right? You had the opportunity, and you blew it. With Christ, He always gives you us another chance, doesn't He? He gives us another chance. That light goes back on again. They're like, Lord, I learned my lesson. Good enough for me. Howdy, howdy, right? So it's a sad part when hell is a place of darkness. It's a place of weeping, crying. I think of memories and gnashing of teeth. It has the idea of somebody in a lot of pain. And it's a very horrible place. Think about it, being away from your Creator. Guess what? You won't have all this creation here. Oh, no. God prepared hell for Satan and his angels, and then He expanded it when mankind was created. You know, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. It's another thing to be in the hands of a loving God. And so I'm very thankful for the loving people here today. Very thankful. Because it's Jesus. That's all it is. You know, somebody said, well, did you have your Jesus moment? I said, well, wait a minute. I have a Jesus moment every day. And I hope and pray that we continue to have it when we're living it. So, let's go ahead and we're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to have our communion time here. Lord, thank You for this time. Thank You, Jesus, for Your grace and Your mercy. Thank You that You are the light of the world. Thank You for this time that we can just kind of have a holy hush and examine ourselves, Lord, and expose any darkness in us through the light of the Holy Spirit and get it under the blood. In Your name we pray, amen.